Hey guys, thanks again for tuning in to Guy with the Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all back, and any newcomers too, glad you're here. Now, there's been an exciting development since the last episode, which was released, and you might have seen this if you follow the Instagram for this podcast, which is studio_3532, and that exciting news is that I did a bit of Black Friday shopping, and now I have my own microphone, which is the Yeti by Blue Microphones. Now, up to this point, for, you know, the past episodes, I've actually been borrowing a mic from my roommate, who is actually borrowing it from his friend, and so I needed to get my own so I could, you know, have my mic when I wanted it, when I needed it. And now, to the more important part of this episode, the people I'm going to be talking about this time around, the one and only Pentatonix. Now, Pentatonix is a five-person a cappella group from Arlington, Texas, and currently is comprised of Scott Hoying, which is the baritone, Mitch Grassi, the tenor, Kirsten Maldonado, a mezzo-soprano, Kevin Lucilla, who's their beatboxer, and Matt, Saleh, which is the bass. But he's new, actually, and up until 2017, their bass had been Avi Kaplan, but he decided to leave the group to kind of go off and work on his own thing. Now, the group got their start after they won season 3 of NBC's The Sing-Off. Now, of course, winning the season didn't only help make them more popular, but also they won a record deal with Madison Gate Records, which is a label owned by Sony Pictures. Now, through this label, in 2012, they were able to release two albums. One, which was their first album, was Pentatonix Volume 1, or PTX Volume 1. And then they released their first Christmas album, which was PTXmas. The following year, they released PTX Volume 2, but that was it for that year. And in 2014, they released two albums, which were PTX Volume 3, and That's Christmas to Me, which was their second Christmas album. Now, this album went gold, and then by Christmas Eve, it had gone platinum, and then in February of 2016, it went double platinum and became the highest charting album by a group since 1962. Now, in 2015, they released their next album, which was comprised of almost entirely original songs, and this one was a self-titled album, Pentatonix, and this one also topped the Billboard charts. 2016, they released a third Christmas album, which was A Pentatonix Christmas, and then in 2017, there was PTX Volume 4. Now, after their tour this year, or not this year, but in 2017, is when Avi left and was replaced with Matt. Now, this current year, 2018, they've released two albums. The first one is PTX Presents Top Pop Volume 1, and the second is a new Christmas album, Christmas Is Here. Now, this group has won a number of awards, such as in 2013 and 2015, they won YouTube Music Awards for Response of the Year, which was awarded to their song Radioactive with Lindsey Stirling in 2013, and 2015 they won YouTube Artist of the Year. Now, 2014, which happened obviously between those two, they got an award from the Streamies, which was Best Cover Song for their cover of Daft Punk. in 2015, they won Best YouTube Musician at the Shorty Awards. And now, for their more mainstream achievements, the Grammys. In 2015 and 2016, they won Best Arrangement, either instrumental or a cappella, for Daft Punk and Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, respectively. And then, in 2017, they won Best Country Duo or Group Performance for their cover of Jolene featuring Dolly Parton. Now, not only have they toured and been to these award shows, but they've also had a number of other appearances, such as they appeared on Sesame Street and at the AMAs in 2014. In 2015, they appeared on the Disney Channel show Casey Undercover in June, and just prior to that, in May, they had a cameo in Pitch Perfect 2 as the Canadian team at the World Acapella Championships. In 2016, they guest starred on an episode of Bones. Well, not all of them, though. In that, there was only Kirsten, Scott, and Mitch that were involved. Then they were also on The Voice that year as guests, and they had a Christmas special in December. This year, they're scheduled to appear on Darcy Lynn's My Hometown Christmas, a new Christmas special set to come out in December. Now, out of all the many different songs they've done, my top five songs have to be Can't Hold Us, Radioactive, Cheerleader, Dancing on My Own, which that one and Radioactive weren't entirely a cappella. They had violin by Lindsey Stirling in Radioactive, and Dancing on My Own was in the period between when Avi left and Matt came, so they had Kevin playing cello to fill in the bass part that was missing. And then the last song that I really love of theirs is Hallelujah from their Christmas album that was released in 2016. Alright, so that wraps up the bit on Pentatonix, and now we're gonna switch to a bit of recent news. So, as you may or may not know, Stan Lee from Marvel Comics has passed away. He died on November 12th, and that was at the age of 95. He was born December 28, 1922, and his full name is, which most people, I'm assuming, don't know, and I didn't either until I was looking into him a bit more. His real name is Stanley Martin Lieber, which he shortened into Stan Lee when he started writing comics. Now, a few interesting facts about him. He was born in and grew up in Manhattan, New York, and then, as most people know, he was a major proponent of Marvel Comics, co-creating many characters with his brother, Larry Lieber, and while he was there, he led to a lot of changes, but also his actions led to the first representation of an African-American superhero, which was Black Panther in 1966. Now, in 1998, he signed a contract with Marvel that said he had to devote at least 10% of his time to the company. This contract is also how his iconic cameos in all the recent Marvel films came to be. He was a proponent for the spread and advancement of literary education and the arts, so he founded the Stan Lee Foundation, Another interesting thing is he has a catchphrase which was Excelsior. This is Latin for ever upward. And he kind of, you know, like I said, used that as a catchphrase or as a motto, which is pretty motivating if you think about it, saying ever upward. You're always trying to achieve that next step up, that next goal, always looking forward for what you can do better next. He worked at Marvel for over 75 years, which is pretty impressive, which meaning he started before he was 20. Now, his favorite character out of all the many, many characters in the Marvel Universe is Spider-Man. According to him, this is because he, Spider-Man, is more than just a comic strip hero. He symbolizes a state of mind, the secret dreams, fears, and frustrations that haunt us all. Stan Lee, unlike writers at the time when he started, wanted to make heroes more relatable to the everyday person. He wanted them to have flaws and struggle with things, not just be invincible, like nothing would faze them. And this act of making them more relatable allowed people to connect better with them, which is why I think the Marvel comics became as popular as they did. Now, some other news which has a bit more of a literal impact would be the midterm elections for the House of Representatives and for the Senate. During these midterms, the Democrats won in the House of Representatives, but the Senate won, or was won rather, by the Republicans. Now, the most recent news I'm gonna bring up is that there was an earthquake this morning in Anchorage, or just outside of Anchorage, Alaska. It was pretty strong with a magnitude of 7, and this happened at 8:30 local time this morning, November 30th. And by the time, or rather by now, there has already been 30 aftershocks, and it's only 12:20 local time. According to the power company up there, there's up to 10,000 people without power in their homes or businesses. The Alaskan governor has commented on this and says he is in direct contact with the White House and is coordinating with first responders to help resolve the issues and take care of his people. Two of the hospitals up in Anchorage were damaged, but both ERs are still open and able to take care of anyone that may have been injured during the quake or any of the aftershock. Now, when I was looking into this earthquake, I didn't see any reports of any deaths, but I'm sure there are undoubtedly a few injuries, and my prayers go out to them that they'll recover quickly and that the damage to various property will be able to be resolved and taken care of quickly. And that power will be restored so that they can get back to their lives and be able to continue with what they were doing. Now, that wraps up the news part of this episode. So I just want to thank you guys for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll listen to the next episode whenever that comes out. If you have any questions about the show or suggestions, feel free to email me at guywiththepodcast3532@gmail.com. And also, I've started an Instagram for this podcast, which some of you are already following, and I really appreciate that. If you're not taking a look at it, I'd love it if you would. The username is studio_3532, and I'll be posting there various updates about production schedule or anything that happens with the show. But you can also DM me your questions and suggestions on there as well. Thanks, guys.